For the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you excited, motivated, and changed. Of course, we know today is Pentecost Sunday. I was thinking this past week when I saw these tornadoes and everything, and this is tornado time back in the Midwest, and a huge storm was blowing the winds up to 100 miles an hour. And a farmer was, saw a young soldier, and he went over to the soldier and he said, "You must be very brave to come down in 100-mile-per-hour gale in a parachute." And the soldier answered, "I didn't come down in a parachute, I went up in a tent." A 100-mile-per-hour gale hit the disciples of Jesus on that first Pentecost. They didn't come down in a parachute, they went up in a tent. The events of that day were dramatic. The disciples were together to celebrate the Jewish harvest festival known as Pentecost. Suddenly, there was a sound like a violent blast of wind. And then over the heads of each of them appeared what looked like tongues of fire. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages. There were in Jerusalem at that particular time devout men and women from many distant countries. And when they heard about this unusual phenomena, they came to see for themselves, and they were amazed because each one of them heard the disciples speaking in their own language. Some of them asked, "What does this mean?" Others sneered and accused the disciples of being drunk. Simon Peter was the spokesman for the day, and he said, "We're not drunk. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning." Rather, this is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. And it states, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." And then Peter linked the Old Testament prophecy with the good news of the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he had finished, the people began asking, "What should we do?" And then Peter answered, "Repent and be baptized." And they did. And there were about 3,000 of them that received the baptism at that particular time. But this was only the beginning. When the celebration had ended, they met together regularly for fellowship and prayer and praise and teaching, and the Lord added to their number daily such as should be saved. What an electrifying story. This is how it all began. This is what the great events of the Old Testament and the birth and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ were all leading up to. A new group of people came into being on that first Pentecost. The Church of Jesus Christ was born at that particular moment. We need to be reminded from time to time where we came from. We need to be reminded of the excitement. We all need excitement in our lives. Everybody needs that. We need it in our work. We need it in our marriages. We need it in our church. You know, many people think that Pentecost took place 2,000 years ago, and that's it. It was a historical fact, and that's that. The Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit to the church, is happening today. There are exciting things happening in churches today around the world. Only 16 short years ago, our church was dead. In fact, the presbytery had told the members that they were going to close our church. Then, like the first Pentecost, the members began praying as they did at the first Pentecost. Then they began asking God for help, someone to help them. And at the time I was praying, asking God for some opportunity to serve in the church. And the Holy Spirit brought us together and excitement began happening. We had a Heritage Weekend. Remember the Heritage Weekend we had? And all the former ministers we could find came with their former, with the many, as many former members as we could find. You could just feel the excitement in the air as they greeted each other and recalled the old times together. And then, as happened on that first Pentecost, we began coming together to pray, prayer for prayer and praise and God and to follow God's leading. The Holy Spirit took over and we began refurbishing our buildings. We did the impossible. We started the Sunday school when none of our members' families had any school-age children at all. And it's still happening today. Many of our children in the past in our Sunday school accepted our Lord Jesus Christ and into their lives and were baptized and became junior members. We ask God to help us reach others with the good news of the gospel of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then led us to begin our Dial Hope telephone outreach ministry. And now for 13 years, we've been offering this ministry to anybody that wants to call that number. You know, that number that we always call is 858-277-8060. And we had about 60,000 calls there over those 13 years and about probably around 5,000 to 6,000 requests for prayer. And after 2 years and 10,000 calls, I wrote and published a 58-page manual on how to do it, how to establish a Dial Hope in any church. And today, 135 churches in 35 states in Canada have the manual with a potential of 500,000 calls and 50,000 prayer requests a year. And who would have thought that a small church like us, ours, could do something like that? It's a present-day miracle. It's a present-day Pentecost. How did it happen? The Holy Spirit came into our lives and helped us make it happen just like that first Pentecost 2,000 years ago. Excitement, enthusiasm. That's Pentecost. The Pentecost is more than a church's excitement. Pentecost is a personal excitement and enthusiasm. The word enthusiasm comes from the Greek word, which means the God within you. It is anyone who is in this church who knows, is there anyone in this church who does not hunger for a greater sense of God's presence in their lives? Maurice Boyd tells about a book called The Enthusiasms of Robertson Davies. Robertson Davies' enthusiasm described in the book ranged all the way from Mozart to chopsticks. And Davies asks, do you have any enthusiasm in your life? He tells about Eugene Ormandy, who dislocated his shoulder while conducting the Philadelphia Symphony Orchestra. Boyd speculates that Ormandy may have been conducting Brahms. In the margin of one of the Brahms symphonies, Brahms wrote, as loud as possible, he wrote in the margin. Only a few bars later, however, he wrote in it, louder still. And Boyd concluded, I know some people who have reached middle age and have never had an enthusiasm great enough to dislodge a necktie, let alone a shoulder. The first Pentecost, there was great enthusiasm. There was great excitement. It was the kind of excitement that changes lives. Sometimes we get excited and enthusiastic and revved up and nothing happens except we feel good. This is one of the reasons the church has always viewed with suspicion excessive enthusiasm. There is always the danger of putting our emphasis on the experience and the good feelings, the excitement of the Spirit, and neglecting the fruits of the Spirit. Enthusiasm that does not lead to a more godly life is more of an obstacle than a stepping stone to discipleship. As one devout man prayed, "Lord, grant the heat in my heart to melt the lead in my feet." And that's a pretty good prayer. We want the kind of excitement and in a kind of enthusiasm that motivates us to change. In a recent survey of workers across the United States, nearly 85% said that they could work harder on the job. More than half claimed they could double their effectiveness if they wanted to. If we could do better, why don't we? That's the question, isn't it? If we could answer that question, we could write a best-selling book and retire for life. Everybody is asking how it is done. Teachers are asking how to motivate students. Parents are asking how to motivate children. Employers are asking how to motivate employees. And most of us would be happy if we could just motivate ourselves. The excitement and the enthusiasm that first Pentecost made a permanent change in the disciples' lives. Why? Because it was real. It was not simply a raw emotion. Rather, it was the coming of the Holy Spirit which Christ had promised them. It was not that something came over the disciples, but someone, the Christ they'd walked with and talked with and dined with, had fellowship with, now dwelt in their hearts and their lives. And like the signs we see in businesses, they were under new management. That made the difference. Automobile genius Henry Ford once came up with a revolutionary plan for a new kind of engine, which we know today as the V8 engine. Ford was eager to get his new idea into production. He had some men draw up plans and present them to the engineers. As the engineers studied the drawings one by one, they came to the conclusion, the same conclusion, their visionary boss just didn't know much about the fundamental principles of engineering. He'd have to be told gently that his dream was impossible. "Well," Henry Ford says, "produce it anyway." And they replied, "But it's impossible." And then Ford commanded them, "Go ahead and stay on the job until you succeed, no matter how much time it takes." Well, for 6 months they struggled with drawing after drawing, design after design, and nothing. Another 6 months went by. Nothing. At the end of the year, Ford checked with his engineers, and they once again told him that what he wanted was impossible. And Ford told them to keep on going, and they did. And you know what? They discovered how to build a V8 engine. Motivation that lasts comes from having someone greater than ourselves instructing us, encouraging us, and prodding us, exhorting us. The disciples were changed because Now they had the inner witness of the living Christ. They had more than excitement. They were changed people. The Holy Spirit had come and now dwelt within them. And they were excited. And they were also forever changed. Look what kind of change took place. It is the kind of change that takes place every time a person truly comes under the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. They looked upward and they looked outward and they devoted themselves to Bible study and prayer and praise, and they also devoted themselves to increased fellowship with one another. Even more important, they opened their fellowship to the world outside, and they were so eager to share what they had received that new persons were added to the church daily. Wouldn't it be great to leave this worship service this morning with that kind of excitement and that kind of enthusiasm, so that no matter how calm we look while we are inside these walls, we couldn't wait to get outside to share Christ's love with somebody else. And that's what we as Christians are all about. This morning, we are what would happen to our church if everyone here today just invited one person to come to church with them. Talk about excitement, and talk about enthusiasm and change. We'd feel the rush of the mighty wind of the Holy Spirit, and we'd be able to help even more people to know the love and power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's up to us to do it. Let's dedicate our lives to helping others to know our Lord. During a moment of silent prayer, let's do it today. Just pray, Heavenly Father, come into my life. Help me to help others to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, send the power of the Holy Spirit into our lives and into our church, and help us to reach others for you, we pray. Lead and guide us in our lives so that we can really feel the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Bless each and every one of us here this morning, and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.